So, Mosh, I'm jealous because you're in Sambali right now. I can
I know,
feel
I just got back.
the energy from the place just by seeing you. How have you been? How have you been this past few months?
It's nice that you mentioned that, you being jealous of me being here, because I just got back from Manila last night, and spending 2 weeks in Manila made me really appreciate my life here in Zambales, being out in nature and being away from all the craziness that Manila offers. So I'm good now. I'm really good in this moment.
So maybe you can talk about your journey. You know, you've been living in different places, you've been a teacher. Maybe you can give us a bit of your, I guess, a glimpse of your story and how you became a teacher, what you were like before that, and how things are going now.
So that's really a interesting question, because I find that I never planned on being a teacher. I always say that it found me in a way that, I was, during that time that I started teaching, I was in a dark place in my life, pretty much. I did everything that people expected me to do, what society expected me to do, what my parents expected me to do, aka graduate from college and then go straight to a corporate work. So when I was doing my corporate work, I was actually in the nightlife scene. I was doing events management for a company. And so this nightlife scene was really toxic, and I was really quite miserable. I was actually on the verge of depression when I was in my corporate work. And so when you are on in that kind of space, you open up a little bit more. When you feel like you have when you've tried everything, I tried to do all the right things, but nothing is working. That's when I found you start to open up a little bit more, because you've tried everything. So you're now willing to be more open to other things. And that's when I started to discover meditation. And it was purely by chance that I discovered meditation online. I was reading a lot about it. And then I was looking for a place where I could find meditation classes. And I honestly thought that this was, suntok sa buwan. I'm never gonna find a meditation class in the Philippines. I wasn't sure if we were ready for that. But sure enough, I found that there was one 5 minutes away from my house, which was White Space Wellness in Katipunan. And I just went there right away. And I did my first meditation class. It was so difficult, I have to say, my first meditation class. But there was something about the teacher that really resonated with me. She just felt so together, so at peace, so whole. Her name is Teacher Sarah Rubin, by the way. And that's how I first got into meditation. And from that point on, it was a domino effect with all of the other classes that White Space was offering, from yoga to Reiki. There was just really something about the teachers that I resonated with. When Eileen, the owner of White Space, asked me if I wanted to do teacher training, for some reason it felt so right, the idea of teaching, that I just felt electricity course through my body when she said that. And that's how it started for me. It really found me. I had no plans of doing it, but instead, I really feel like the path found me.
Yeah, that's
Pretty
amazing.
much
And
that's it.
it really, I mean, the same with me,
Yeah.
diba? We didn't think you were going to be
Yeah.
teachers. We didn't think we would be able to hold space together for, our students. And I'm
Yeah.
curious though, like, people, a lot of people in our industry, it all looks so nice and so light, but we aren't spared from the challenges. And I'm curious how
Yeah.
you have been able to face challenges, especially since this is also your work, your profession. So like, where how do you like find that work-life balance to keep that, to keep your energy levels high and but also hold space for other people and to make a living and to pay for the bills, diba?
I have to say, it's the a big part of it is through my yoga practice. practicing yoga has been so crucial in my ability to face the challenges and all the discomfort life has to offer, because yoga teaches us how to breathe in the middle of a very difficult pose. And so when you keep doing this in your yoga practice, just teaching yourself, okay, keep breathing. This pose is killing me. It's so hard. I can't, I don't know how I'm doing this. But then you teach your body to just keep breathing in the middle of the challenge. And so as I keep practicing doing this, you know, it carries out in your life. You teach yourself how to remain with the discomfort, teach yourself how to breathe through the challenges. And so the yoga practice gave me a lot of faith in myself that I can handle whatever life will throw at me, no matter how difficult it is, because yoga taught me how to sit, how to stay, and not run away from the challenges. A lot of the times when we practice, you know, spirituality, spreading the light, we tend to deny all the challenges, all the negative things that are happening to us. And the thing is, the more we run away from it, it will never go away. It stays there. But yoga teaches you how to sit with it, confront with it, teach the body how to process all the negative feelings and emotions, and acknowledge that they're there and not running away, because that's what I've always done. I keep running away, keep walking out of difficult situations. So yoga taught me the ability to be present to the challenges, pretty much.
that's amazing.
Yeah.
And Mosh, I'm also curious, like you're basically like a nomadic teacher, traveler. Like how did this start? When did this start? Like, and what's been your journey with all your travels lately?
Another thing that I would say, this type of life found me once again. So I really try to live life in the moment, not planning too much, and just really listening to what's happening in life in this moment and saying yes to it. So when I graduated from my teacher training, right off the bat, Bahay Kalipay from Palawan was looking for a yoga teacher who needed a resident yoga teacher who needed to stay there for a few months. And I said yes to it pretty much right away. And because the corporate lifestyle was really making me miserable, very early on, I did a work from home setup way before the pandemic. I was already working from home. And so it was easy for me to travel around and teach yoga. And from that point on, when I said yes to that first opportunity of teaching yoga in Palawan, I pretty much lived in Palawan for a year. And from that point on, opportunities just kept finding me. After Palawan, there was an opportunity for me to teach in New Zealand. I just said yes to it. Again, none of these are planned. Pretty much, I've been trying to live my life going with the flow. So it's pretty much a balance of planning and then going with the flow.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just keep saying yes to whatever life is offering in front of me. And that keeps leading from one to another. So that's how it's been for me lately until now.
No, that's great. And I think people need to hear this, that, you know, you can make plans, but life has other plans, diba? And,
exactly. That was the main lesson of the pandemic. You know, you can't really plan for everything. Nobody really knows what the future holds for us. So the pandemic gave us a curveball. You know, it taught us, wow, life is so random. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
And we must be prepared to face it, you know.
Exactly. And I'm curious to hear about why you love your work to teach. And I've seen you myself, you know, hold space for a lot of students, but I want to hear it from you. Like what really moves you? What do you like about it? What inspires you to do your job? You know, like to do the work. That's basically your purpose.
Yeah. I just love being able to extend to other people what was given to me when I was in my darkest times, when I was in my lowest point. There were a lot of people believed in me, and a lot of people were able to extend to me the type of help that I needed at that point. And now that I'm a teacher myself, I love being able to do that for other people. especially in today's, you know, day and age where there is a lot of focus on mental health issues, a lot of people really don't have a roadmap, or a lot of people really don't know where to begin even about these things. So I love being able to hold space for other people's healing, no matter what that may be it through just listening, be it through the yoga practice or the mindfulness practice. And the nice thing about yoga and meditation, it's one of those things that you can teach to people where you see the benefits right away. Even just from the first session, you see the peace that people find just by quieting the mind, just by coming into their shavasana. You see the difference so much. So that lights me up every single time. It never gets old.
I love that. And I totally agree with that. You know, it's the best feeling. And how about you starting Soul Speak with Nella, and you know, like I'm honestly impressed because you're doing this even with a pandemic when things were very strict. Like, how was that affected your growth? And maybe you can share some specific instances in being able to organize retreats in the midst of a pandemic, and you know, how what you've learned from the participants about yourself.
Yeah. Again, none of this was planned. If you look how Soul Speak came to be, you might think everything came together by pure luck, because honestly, we didn't know how to run things during the pandemic. But then again, everything just fell into place naturally. And yeah, you can say it's by luck. It depends how you look at it. But at the same time, my partner Nella and I just knew how to listen to our inner guidance. We were just always at the right place at the right time when we discovered Sambali. So I'm in Sambali right now, and this is where we run our flagship retreats. And Sambali is a beach farm. It's not a resort. So being a beach farm, we're able to accept tourists because it's we're not a resort. So we're able to do farm trainings here. We're able to do wellness and health. So wellness and health, people can travel for that. And so this was not planned. I wouldn't even have known how I would have planned this. I have to say again that it found me by just being at the right place at the right time. And I think it all fell into place by our ability to just really learn how to listen to our inner guidance to be where I need to be. And my daily prayer every day is, dear God, where would you have me go? What would you have me do? What would you have me say, and to who? So that's taken from the Course in Miracles. And that's my daily prayer. And every day I'm just opening myself up to the guidance that I keep receiving. And to me, that's where the magic of how Soul Speak started, just being really able to allow God's higher purpose to flow through us and letting go of my personal plans, just listening to God's guidance. That's pretty much it.
And like, I love that, like how, you know, you're the vessel, diba? And all this energy is moving through you, and you're affecting all these people, and you're also getting that energy as well from others. And you know, I'm curious, like, you know, this mindset, you know, I was talking to someone else in another episode about mindset, and you seem to have a very cultivated mindset, and a lot of people I think aspire for that. And maybe you can walk us through your routine, your rituals that help you specifically, not just a general yoga practice, but that really helps you stay in this wavelength of, you know, trusting and looking at life as something that's giving abundance, instead of, oh, life is so hard, it's so challenging. But like, your mindset, because it's very refined, and I'm just, maybe people will learn from your, how you cultivated that, what are the tools that you've been using to keep that going.
Thank you for saying that. And I love this question, because I really devote everything to my daily practice. It's really important to have a daily practice, or just one thing that you show up for every day. And from this one thing that you show up for every day, you know, everything falls into place. And I devote it to my meditation practice every morning. So here in Sambali, I'm just blessed that I'm able to meditate in front of the ocean. So I just do that 25 minutes a day. I just sit quietly, mindfulness meditation. And this has given me the ability to really get to know myself deeply, how to refine my inner guidance, because it's not difficult. It's not easy, you know, pursuing my own path, especially in this world where constantly telling people are telling you what to do. Society is telling you what to do. Your parents are telling you what you should do. And to be able to set that aside and learn how to listen inwards, be familiar with yourself, know thyself is where everything begins. And when you really get to know yourself through your through the practice of meditation, then you can really trust yourself, especially during this time where there's a lot of uncertainty, there's a lot of fear. It's easy to fall into the trap of fear and just doing what everyone else is doing, because you know, you think we never really know ourselves. So when you don't know yourself, other people will put an identity on you. And that's kind of hard, because you kind of get lost in the, you lose yourself, especially living in the big city, especially in a fear-based society. So when you meditate and you just quiet everything down, you just listen inwards, and it's like you're cultivating your inner space to really know how to act, to know how to decide. When things are noisy, you zero in on yourself, and in this quiet space, you just learn how to listen more clearly.
Yeah. No, I totally feel you, but I'm also curious, realistically, how long did it take for you to get to this point? Like, because people are always want it instantly. They want, in a day, I'm good now. But like, for you, how long did it take to get to this point where you're able to sit for, because that's a long time for a lot of people, 25 minutes. Like, how long did it take to get to that point?
Yeah, it took me a while. I started with just 7 minutes every day. Well, I've been practicing meditation for 7 years now. So it really takes training. Just the same way that you go to the gym, you for the first time and you exercise your muscles, it's really going to be difficult at the start. And just like any other muscle, your mind is also a muscle. You need to train your muscles every day. So at first, it's going to be very challenging. You have to practice your mental muscles. So my best advice is to start slow. Start with just 5 minutes even, and then work yourself up to 7 minutes to 10 minutes. And just do it every day consistently. And then you'll see all of a sudden it gets easier and easier over time. Again, just like any muscle that you exercise every day, you just get better at it. And then one day you'll just notice all the benefits of the mindfulness meditation suddenly happening. All of a sudden, you're not disturbed by the things happening around you. All of a sudden, you find that you have a choice. And when an irritation happens, you get the choice to, okay, am I going to allow myself to be irritated, or am I just going to move on? Yeah. All of a sudden, you have access to these choices, which previously, things just started to happen automatically, you know. Something annoys you automatically get annoyed. I found with the meditation practice, when something is annoying you, all of a sudden you have a choice. Do I allow myself to get annoyed, or do I move on, breathe it in? And sometimes we can still allow ourselves to get annoyed. At least it was our choice.
No, that I love that, that you have the choice. And you know, like it's not perfect. Like I even tell some of my students, you will miss a meditation, and you just got to pick yourself up and do it again. Right? Like it's not a pursuit. It's a practice. Right? So it's going to be,
got to
keep refining it. You know, you got to keep evolving it. And I feel like it transforms into different things as well. Right? Like, and I'm sure for you, Ren, right? Like parang the, not just the sitting practice of meditation, it evolves into like maybe by even just walking. You're not thinking, you're just being. And I think that's one of the things what I advocate for as well, right? Like to be able to move past that mind that just tells you that you're not good enough, that you're just excessively worrying. And you know, that's why I feel like teachers are really like so needed now, like especially in the city and densely populated areas. And you know, I just really am thankful that I have people who I can confide with, like you, and you know, other teachers who remind you that, you know, you have a choice and you can work on it. And there are scientific facts that back all of these, most of these practices, especially meditation. So like lastly, Mosh, maybe you can share with us like a story that means a lot to you. Like maybe a story of somebody you met or a story that you feel would be special to you, you know, like something that was moving. It can be from a long time ago, from a recent memory, it can be something simple, but like just a story that you think you could share that could resonate, that's something that's moving.
There's a lot of stories that I could share, but I suppose the one thing that really comes into mind in this moment is that when I was reading The Course in Miracles, it's a book that I've been reading recently, and pretty much what the book is saying, that the whole world is pretty much based on our perception, that everything really begins with us, and that everything that we see around us is purely a reflection of everything that's happening inside of us. It's as if we're projecting projecting our reality outwards. And whatever is happening in our mind, you will see it reflected outwards in your environment. And, you know, when I started reading that book, I decided to just always begin with myself, to just start to love myself, to just honor myself, to just keep listening to my inner knowing, inner guidance. And to be honest, when I started practicing that, all of a sudden, my entire life started to fall into place. All of a sudden, opportunities started to open up for me. When I stopped listening to other people, when I stopped listening to society, which is very difficult, I have to say, and I just kept focusing on my practice, you know, all of a sudden, things showed up in my life. And I say this story because when I started to practice this, my partner just suddenly showed up. And, you know, I honestly did not think that I was going to meet anybody like him. And when he showed up, you know what? I found out that he's also reading The Course in Miracles.
Oh, wow.
So that was such a... I was like, this is crazy. This is crazy. I cannot believe this. Yeah. Not only that, he's also read all of the other books that I've read, but it's such a divine coincidence that the moment that I was reading that book and then I met him, he was also reading that book the same time that I was, and I was just like, whoa, this is amazing. One of the lines in the books was actually, miracles are a natural occurrence. When they don't occur, something has gone wrong. And so to me, that was one of the best ways that I saw that miracles are actually quite natural in life when all of these magical things happen. And from that point on, coincidence just kept happening in my life. A lot of alignment just kept happening in my life. And that made me really believe that it's all true. Everything begins with us. Everything starts with us. So when you first love yourself, all of a sudden you're gonna start to reflect that in other people around you. They're just gonna show up when you look for it within you first.
Thanks so much for sharing that, Mosh. I love that. Like it really it's people know this naman, everyone knows to love ourselves, but it is so difficult to get to that point, and you do need to work on it, but when you do it, it's worth it, diba? And thanks so much, Mosh, for sharing your life with us. I think you're going to inspire a lot of people. And hope to see you soon. Let me know when you're in Manila.
For sure.
I'll let you know when we're in Sambali.
Yeah.
But thanks, Mosh.